This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and it's the 21st of October, 2010. And today I'm joined on the line by Bill Still, who is the maker of the documentary that was just released as part of the Documentaries That Matter episode on the Corbett Report podcast, The Secret of Oz, which is available at secretofoz.com. Bill Still has also, of course, written for numerous publications, including USA Today, the Saturday Evening Post, the Los Angeles Times, Omni Magazine, and has produced syndicated radio programs. He's also the man behind several documentary videos, including, of course, The Secret of Oz. Bill Still, it's a pleasure to have you on the program today. Thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, I'm sure listeners are extremely interested to hear specifically about the episode of the podcast that we just released on The Secret of Oz. So tell us a little bit about that documentary and how that came about.
Well, I was editing a newspaper here in Northern Virginia in 1980 when an older gentleman called me up and said, "Boy, have I got a story for you. There's no gold left in Fort Knox." And I just kind of rolled my eyes and said, "Oh, yeah, good. Send me something in the mail." Most people, the crazy people, never had anything to send, so it was a very efficient use of time. A couple days later, I got a thick sheaf of papers in the mail. This guy was not a crazy person. His name was Ed Durrell. He was a retired Ohio farm implements dealer who had come to the Washington, D.C. area to pursue his hobby, which was to try to get the federal government to do a physical audit of the gold reserves in Fort Knox, a worthy thing to do. And so there were letters from the Secretary of Treasury, the Bureau of Mint, senators, congressmen. This guy really knew what he was doing. So I wrote a story, and it was very well received, but it took me years to figure out how that fit into the big picture of everything. And when I figured it out, I wrote a book called On the Horns of the Beast, The Federal Reserve and the New World Order in 1992, and that was followed on by the documentary video, The Money Masters, in 1995-96. Ever since then, I've been looking for a way to make it more impactful and shorter, a shorter presentation. The Money Masters was 3 hours and 23 minutes long. And so finally, when I heard about the Wizard of Oz connection and monetary reform, I jumped on it and produced The Secret of Oz, which is trimmed down to a skinny 109 minutes.
Skinny in size, but definitely not in content. And I think a lot of people might be able to relate to your story in coming across this this information and maybe dismissing it as some sort of far-fetched conspiracy theory until they actually start looking into it. And certainly myself, one of the first encounters I had with this information was the Money Masters. And ever since then, I've been trying to tell anyone within earshot about this incredible information. So I guess just briefly, let's get to the very heart of the matter. What is the core thesis of The Secret of Oz? And what is the secret, which is really quite simple and is being hidden from the public?
Well, the secret is the control of the quantity of money is in the hands of a group of bankers. It's not in the hands of the government or the public or anything like that. You hear this as a misconception on television every single day that you turn it on. For example, G. Gordon Liddy is running ads, buy gold, and I'm not opposed to gold. I think buying gold is a great investment, but it's a crummy way to run an economy. And he starts off his ad by saying, "The federal government is printing money like there's no tomorrow." It's just not true. We don't print any money. We borrow money, primarily from big bankers. Our entire money supply is created this way and is out of debt and is at interest. That's what the national debt is. It's our national money supply. And so another thing you hear politicians say when they get on TV is, "Well, we've got to significantly cut spending, austerity, so that we can pay down the national debt." It just shows they don't understand what the national debt is. The national debt is our national money supply. So back in the turn of the century, L. Frank Baum wrote this book and put in the symbols of monetary reform, which was the big political issue in the 1896 presidential election. William McKinley versus, I'm blocking on his name, the Cross of Gold speech right now. But in any case, during
William Jennings Bryan.
It's Bryan. It's terrible to get old. In any case, So this was the big political issue. And when Brian lost that election, L. Frank Baum, who was a well-known Brian supporter, put in and saw that monetary reform was going to submerge, was going to essentially die. So he put in symbols of monetary reform, so hoping that someone on down the years would pick up on this and it would reemerge. And of course, that's exactly what I hit on. So what the main symbol is the silver slippers on the yellow brick road. Silver slippers, you say? When the 1939 movie version of The Wizard of Oz came out, Dorothy's slippers were changed from the original silver to ruby to take advantage of the new Technicolor process. That's why the ruby slippers are featured in so many frames of that film. But it wasn't a conspiracy or anything. It was just that they were, you know, trying to show off their new technique. But it totally destroyed the ease with which we can understand the symbology. But if you read the book version with this in mind, you'll see that the silver slippers on the yellow brick road is very significant. In other words, Dorothy and her troop are able to travel to Oz, the Emerald City of Oz, representing Lincoln's greenbacks, only along the yellow, the dangerous yellow brick road, if Dorothy has on the magical silver slippers. And the secret is, all she had to do at any time to end their torment was to click her silver slippers together three times. And what that means is that America at that time could end the gold-only money system depression fostered by the bankers by adding silver money to the money supply. In other words, not allowing the bankers to have this monopoly over the quantity of money. And that was the essential symbolism behind The Wizard of Oz.
That's right, and it's actually just such a simple symbology that's hidden so carefully inside that book and the play, and most people will go right over it without ever seeing it, so it's a nice way to connect in with the monetary reform issue, which I'm sure the listeners and yourself know is one of the most pressing issues facing humanity right now, and I know you're a bit pressed for time right now, so I hope in the future we can have a more in-depth conversation on that issue. But right now, let's just talk about The Secret of Oz and how it's been received so far.
Well, it's been building kind of slowly. It's been released for about a year now, but I've been invited to attend a lecture at the London School of Economics next week. Given by a professor, a Spanish economist from a school in Madrid. And, of course, the London School of Economics is the absolute core of the fractional reserve lending system, which is one of the big problems that we face. And this professor is going to go there and speak against the inefficacy, the ineffectiveness of the fractional reserve lending system. So all of us in the monetary reform world are just shocked that the London School of Economics is actually going to allow such a topic to be discussed. And so I wrote an open letter to him and said, yeah, ending fractional reserve lending would be good, but the 800-pound gorilla in the corner is government borrowing. You have to also eliminate the ability of sovereign nations to borrow, because as we see from Proverbs, the borrower shall be servant to the lender. And the very definition of state sovereignty is that it's the servant of no one. It is a power unto itself. And so this is the big mistake in the Constitution, and that was Jefferson's only complaint about the U.S. Constitution, that it allowed the U.S. government to borrow. So what to synopsize this, what we need are essentially three things. We need to have no more national debt. Government borrowing should be forbidden. Governments do not have to borrow. Governments can create. That's the essence of a sovereign nation. Number two, we need to cap the quantity of money. I argue lots of times with gold bugs, or gold bugs argue with me, but really they have correctly identified the primary problem here, and that is that the quantity of money is not in the control of we the people through our elected representatives. That's why the whole Tea Party movement has sprung up, because people see that government is no longer responsive to the voters, and they don't understand why, what's behind it, but all they know is they're going to try to fix it. And I just wish they'd focus on what the real problem is, and that is it. The problem is that the quantity of money is now controlled by bankers, not by the government. So the second thing, as I said, is we have to cap the quantity of money. You just gradually pay off the U.S. bonds with new U.S. notes instead of Federal Reserve notes or their electronic equivalents as they come due. So it's a very gradual process, no muss, no fuss, and we're immediately into a debt-free monetary system, thereby eliminating paying off the national debt gradually, but without inflation. The third thing we need to do is go to full reserve banking instead of the current system we have, which is fractional reserve lending. And that means that banks can lend money that they don't actually have. You or I, if we went out and did that, lent money at interest that we didn't actually have, we'd be immediately jailed for counterfeiting. However, this system, they never go to jail, and in fact, they control the economy of the nation, and thereby they can control the politics, because anytime the principals of Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and Citigroup, and Bank America call up the White House and say, you know, we really don't like that proposed economic policy you've got. If you do that, you know, we can contract the money supply even further and cause an even deeper recession. Well, you know what? They're going to get their way. So that's no longer government by, for, and of the people. That's government by, for, and of the bankers. And there is a word for this in economic terms. It's called plutocracy. And that's not what we want. We want a constitutional republic. So those three items, no more national debt, capping the quantity of money, and moving to full reserve lending are the only solution. Nothing else will fix this. The economy is going to do nothing but spiral downwards in perpetuity, far worse than the Japanese system, though analogous to it. In the meantime, the interim period, there is something else that we can do to try to bring this to the fore, and that's move to state chartered banks, where in any case, the state-chartered banking system. So that's my four-step proposal.
Excellent. Well, it is so important that people find out more about this. So, of course, I would direct them to secretofoz.com. But I understand you'll also be giving a lecture while you're in London.
Yes, I'm the keynote speaker at the Bromsgrove Monetary Reform Conference on Friday night. Also, Sky News, one of their entertainment channels, is debuting The Secret of Oz on national TV at 10 p.m. in Britain on that night, and the Sky News channel is sending a TV crew out to film my speech. So this is big, big, heady times for monetary reform. We've never had press coverage, much less TV coverage, so things are changing, and they're changing because people realize that what's in place right now is not working, and so they're starting to look at alternatives. That's what we've always predicted would happen. I just never thought that it would come this soon. So this is really great stuff for monetary reform.
It certainly is, and we do see that rising. 5 years ago, people didn't even know what the Federal Reserve was, and now people know quite a bit about its intricate inner workings and the fact that it really is sort of a man behind the curtain directing the Wizard of Oz. So it is very inspiring to see so many people waking up to this. So for people who are looking for more information about yourself or The Secret of Oz, where can they go to get a copy of the film, and how can they support your work?
Well, yeah, they can go to www.secretofoz.com. They can buy a copy of the film there. There's a donate button if they're feeling rich and they just want to donate to the cause. And all the latest updates, I put all the latest updates of my activities and the important stuff within monetary reform and economics in general on that page.
Excellent. Well, Bill Still, I know you're very pressed for time today, so I do appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, and I hope to talk with you again in the future. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Corbett Report.
Thank you.